Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. The Montana Performing Arts Consortium, MPAC, formed in 1981. Over the past 40 years, the nonprofit has brought together communities and performing artists. The result has been untold hours of entertainment for those in Montana's smaller communities. Today, Emily Wolfram joins us to share how MPAC is continuing the work to bring the arts to smaller towns near you.
Emily, welcome to Resounds. Jennifer Corning and I are in Great Falls, and we decided we had to chat with you as long as we're up in your neck of the woods. I don't think many people in Montana know what the Montana Performing Arts Consortium is. I do because I started going a couple of years ago. So tell us about MPAC, your role, and tell us about the organization itself.
Thank you so much, Corby. I'm really happy to be here talking with you, especially about the Montana Performing Arts Consortium, or as we call it, MPAC for short. I'm just really excited about the work that I do. Through this organization, I get to be connected with many communities all over Montana and many talented artists through this work. So basically, MPAC is a nonprofit membership association, and its goal is mainly to support the touring of the performing arts throughout the state of Montana. And we do that by providing resources and services to our members, which are venues or presenting organizations that are all over Montana, and sometimes we'll have members from neighboring states as well. And we also have members who are artists and artist agency or artist management companies, and also a few service organizations like our Montana State Arts Council and Creative West, which is our regional arts organization.
So I'm going to explain that in a nutshell. Because I run the biggest performing arts center in Montana, the Alberta Bear Theater, and we have 1,400 seats. Mm-hmm. But what is so wonderful about your organization is you provide all these small towns with the opportunity to bring in guest artists, and then you also provide artist venues to go to. Mm-hmm. So from Whitefish to Sydney, Montana, all across the state, a lot of places don't have theaters per se. Tell us about some of those towns and what venues they're using to present performing arts.
Well, many of our members, actually most of them, are these small organizations in these small rural communities. And some examples are the Belt Theater or Belt Performing Arts Center, which actually has a small community theater that they recently renovated, and it's beautiful if you ever get a chance to go. And others have their series that they present at their local school, if there's a venue that works there. And we even have, and then there's also the Northeastern Arts Network, which has a few different kinds of venues. There's a Heritage Center at one of them, and then they also present lots of outreach at schools, and they primarily serve the towns of Sydney, Glasgow, and Malta, at different whatever they have available there for presenting a performance.
What I found interesting, having been to the conference, is almost all these organizations are run by volunteers in the community. I have the luxury of actually getting paid to do the work that I have to do, but we're in Billings. If you're in a small town and you want to hear some classical music or jazz or pop, the community gets together and says, let's make this happen. That's so fascinating. Tell us about how your organization got started and the rhyme and reason for it.
That's a great question. because MPAC has been around for over 40 years. It first got together in 1981, and it was a group of presenters like the Alberta Bear, but also Helena Presents, which later became the Myrna Loy, and also the universities in Missoula and Bozeman. They were already booking some major acts, and I think they wanted to get more organized about it, and also, like you mentioned, sort of share the opportunity to bring performing arts to these smaller communities that were also around. Haver was an early one. Shoto from Teton County was another one that was involved at the very beginning. And so it first started to help with this booking process. And later on, as it was continuing to grow, MPAC also focused on helping to start other arts organizations that could bring performances to their communities. And it also put some focus on developing the careers of Montana artists that were already here and celebrating our homegrown talent here in Montana.
Let's talk a little bit about what block booking means. I use that term all the time. People say, what do you mean block booking? So it's beneficial not only for the communities, but for the artists. Montana is a very big state. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming from Canada or from outside the state and you have one gig, one show in one little town, you can't afford to do it. Explain how block booking works for the artist and for the communities.
Sure, and sometimes you'll hear us say block booking or routing, and it kind of means a similar thing. And it's essentially when several communities or several organizations throughout, you know, in our case, the state of Montana, pool their interest in an artist to organize a tour that makes sense for the artist to come, not just for one performance for one town, but for multiple shows in multiple towns across the state. And that's good for the presenters because usually when you can be part of a tour or part of a block, that means the artist can help you by lowering their fee a little bit to make it more accessible. And that's really important for those small organizations and those small communities that don't have the resources that, say, like Alberta Bear has in Billings or the Bozeman venues. And for the artists, they love it too because they have more opportunities to perform and to share what they do. And it's the other thing that's really wonderful is that when we are able to do this and we're able to, it's able to serve both our big cities and our small rural places, that just means the arts and the performing arts is easier to access for everyone. And that can be really special in a place like Sydney or in a place like Gardner, where you might not be able to have those experiences unless you decided to drive an hour or multiple hours to the nearest biggest city to go see a show. So it's pretty special to bring that to these small towns. And, you know, in Montana, not only is it just a big state with these big distances, but like winters are kind of hard to deal with. So people have a hard time doing that during, you know, those colder seasons when the weather's not great.
I have a funny anecdote. I was at the MPAC conference 2 years ago, and I had no intention of booking anything. I just wanted to be supportive. I found four different showcases, and I booked them. Three Canadian acts, and really good talent. So when we go, and on Sunday morning, we all get together at a block booking thing, and there's all these little communities, and they might be interested in bringing a particular show. The budget I have to work with is from $5,000 to $40,000 for a show. Most of these communities have $1,000 up to $2,500, $3,000 is really what they can afford in their community. So I said, well, I'll pay, you know, $5,000. And the whole room clapped. They were said, oh, if you could pay that, then I can get that same show for $2,500. So it's really working together for the benefit not only of those communities, but then the artists. An artist can't afford to come to Montana and only have one show.
That's true. And that is another thing that's really wonderful about this organization and the network. you know, a bigger venue in a big city like Kalispell or Billings, like it's really wonderful for you to serve your local audience in your big in your city by bringing amazing things. But when you also work with this network, like your venue, the Alberta Bear, also participates in having this statewide impact. Like you are helping other places in Montana have access to this great stuff. For instance, you had we'd been talking earlier about Trevor Pancheck coming to play in Billings this last weekend, and he's been going all around Montana. He played for your venue, but he also played in that Belt Theater, which seats 80 people, and did some outreach. And so when our big city venues, our big budget venues are participating, we all win, we all appreciate it, but you also get to wear that badge of pride in like making a difference, like even just far beyond your county or your city.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this interview is we've just had this conference. It's always in October. I think it will continue to be in October. But one of the things that I think working artists in Montana may not know about is they can apply to showcase. And we have, I think, 15 different showcases. Quite a few are from Montana, some from Canada, some from New York, from all over. So if there are artists, whether it's a musician, a juggler, a trio, a band, if they're interested in showcasing, tell us how they go about contacting you or who do they contact to get onto the roster.
I have an ongoing project of reaching out to Montana artists in whatever way that I can. I've tried to join every Facebook group that will give me a wide reach and look for other ways to, you know, reach out to associations or other, or like the larger community. So we do have our showcase, which is an opportunity for artists, like you said, and we do require that artists apply to be on the showcase, and that they can just go to the website, mtperformingarts.org, to learn about that. The applications open at the beginning of February and they close usually around the middle of April. And after that, we'll have a jury review all of the applications and choose, about 17 artists we're able to showcase. But then we also invite a handful more to do a quick pitch, which is just a 5-minute either talking or maybe playing a song and also explaining what their outreach program is to that same audience, just so there's even more opportunity for exposure and for networking. So certainly start with the website, and anyone can always feel free to call me. The phone numbers and the emails all go to me because I'm the only employee of MPAC. So if they call MPAC or email MPAC, I'll be the one to respond, and I'm happy to do that.
So every year, MPAC meets at the Great Falls Civic Center. So these small community volunteers from small towns and some people from big towns get together, we meet. So a showcase is an opportunity for these artists to show their wares? Is that what goes on at the conference?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically, if they're invited to showcase, they come and they play a 12-minute version of their show, which is not very long, but it's sort of just enough to give you an idea of what that full hour or 90 minutes might look like. The artist has the freedom to perform any part of it they want or curate bits of their show that work and talk about their outreach. And so you can think of that as sort of like a 12-minute commercial for those small presenters and all the presenters to see, really, and start thinking about what they're interested in booking for the next year. And then another big aspect of the conference that happens apart from the showcases are exhibit hall time, when those representatives can go to an artist booth or an agent booth and ask questions to see if it's feasible to bring them to their town. And those are questions like, you know, what kind of outreach do you specialize in? What are your fees? Of course, that's an important detail. What are your technical needs? Because, you know, if there's a small presenter who's having their shows operated out of a school auditorium, their ability to accommodate complicated tech will be different from a like a full theater with all of the bells and whistles. So so yeah, that is what happens with the showcase. And it's really fun. We do make that part of our conference open to the whole public so they can come and see these little 12-minute vignettes of things. And yeah, we'll showcase anything in the performing arts, all disciplines, all genres. So dance is welcome, theater, storytelling, comedy, as well as plenty of music.
Emily, I will give you credit for putting on a good conference. And part of the conference that I found really interesting is these communities come prepared with what they want. I mean, one town will say, okay, we have this show on this day, but then you have to go to three grade schools and entertain for an hour, or we have a community center and a senior center. And so it's a lot of negotiating, not just for one show, but every community has unique needs. Tell us some of those incidents or some of those kind of communities and what the artists actually do in these small towns.
Sure. Some of the curation is involved with some of the genres, so the representatives are really thoughtful when they think about bringing in acts that they know will be a hit, like, you know, bluegrass and country is really easy to present, but they also understand that they have a responsibility to expand horizons too. So sometimes they'll bring in something a little more different that you wouldn't normally see in an agricultural area, you know? And then as far as the booking of outreach, that's really important as well. Like I said, access is a big issue because of these big distances between our population centers. So so kids might never see a professional performance unless it's presented by this organization that comes to our conference. And if they don't go to the main performance, they might only see the outreach that happens in their school. And In a town like where I live in Great Falls, or where you live in Billings, like, we have schools that have pretty robust music and theater and arts programs. But in small towns, they generally have a difficult time retaining, like, all teachers, but it's especially true of music teachers. I play the cello and I do some teaching, and I have a student who lives in a rural place and she participates in her school music as much as she can. But the topic of like, oh, I hope this teacher will stay in our small town is always a thing that they're worried about, because frequently it's hard to keep those music teachers. So we're really filling a need there, where, you know, there might honestly really be nothing if these little community organizations didn't exist.
Another aspect of the conference that I really enjoyed is people have their showcase, play their music, do the magic act, but then there's an MC and he will ask the artist, do you have anything else to say? And the artists say, okay, we love going to a small town, and we like going into schools. So the artists that are showcasing, the more they know about the kind of communities that they are going to, the better it is both for the artist and for the community. The expectations are laid out right there at the conference.
Yes, that little interview it's sort of like the beginning of the conversation they can continue when they go to the exhibit hall. And it's a great time for artists to get specific about like what their strengths are in terms of connecting with people. Because that's really what this is all about. It's an artist connecting with their audience. And sometimes that's on a main stage, and sometimes it's in a classroom or in some other community center or a senior center like that. And they can really dial down what they're best at and what they're most interested in, and our presenters can better like make choices about what they want to book there. That interview also serves an important point in those showcases to give our tech crew to change sets, because it's a big day. We have 17 different acts that they have to set up for and tear down, and there's usually only 5 minutes between them. I mean, they're really amazing. I really love our tech crew that we've had working with us for many years, and I appreciate them a lot for all the work that they do. But yeah, that's that happens while the interview is happening in the front of the stage.
the Montana Performing Arts Consortium also offers development assistance to presenters. What kind of development programs?
Yeah, so I think you're talking about the Presenter Development Program. That's the name of it. And it was started in 1987 because our leadership and our community recognized that organizations that are just starting out or are in small towns with when you have small populations, there's not a lot of resources to pull from. You know, like everybody might donate as much as or buy tickets as much as a person in a big city, but it amounts to a smaller pool when you're in a small town. So MPAC started this program to provide financial assistance. Initially, it was for supporting marketing efforts by the organization. And the award was based on the artist's fees that they had annually every year. And that is just to make sure that these rural communities had a little boost, a little leg up, because philanthropy in rural Montana is really, you know, it can be challenging to find the right thing that fits what you're doing. So that was our way of meeting that or bridging that gap.
I know there have been incredible cuts to funding for arts organizations with the NEA, Montana Arts Council. So there's both marketing support for shows, there's presenter support. Tell us about how the whole finances work and what opportunities are there for presenting organizations and what opportunities might there be for performers as well.
Sure. Well, we get a lot of support from our State Arts Council here in Montana. They're really great. They have a grant program specifically for statewide service organizations in the arts, and MPAC is designated as one of those. We also receive support from the Cultural Trust, from the Coltax, and like I mentioned, Creative West, our regional arts organizations. Beyond that, our membership dues and our conference fees also help us cover our operating expenses and a program like the Presenter Development Program. And we're looking to expand that and grow. And one thing that's new that we've tried this year is teaming up with our presenter development participants to pursue support as a group instead of us all going and reaching for things as individual organizations. And we had a recent success that has that was very encouraging, and so we're going to keep on going with that vein.
I would like to give a shout out to the Montana Arts Council. They have a program, Artists in the Schools, that any small organization can apply for that will help fund bringing artists into the schools. Tell us, Chris Holmes, who is our director of the Montana Arts Council, tell us about that program, because I think there's a lot of communities around the state that don't know about that kind of funding and how it could help build art programs in their own schools.
You're totally right, and I completely agree with you. That's a wonderful grant program, and it's widely available to 501c3s like our members and for schools and other entities. We actually did a webinar about that program specifically, and Monica Grable from the Montana Arts Council gave a presentation about the Artists in Schools and Community Grant Program, how to apply, just as an intro for our specific members, so that way they could see that it's available to them and that it is within their reach. And that is part of like what we're doing now in terms of like growing our organization to be more than just an annual conference, is providing webinars and education like that, so that way presenters in these small communities or really anywhere can see what resources are available to them to help them succeed in their missions.
And because Montana is such a big state, another service that you provide, and this goes back to the idea of block booking, is all these little organizations across the state can say, I'm interested in this show, this show, this show. Here's the dates that I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. So all of that is in this giant Excel spreadsheet, which is wild and crazy. But in each case, there's someone that takes on the lead and said, I'll take this act and I'll make sure they make this routing work. That is so fun. Tell us a little example of that.
To be totally honest, Corby, that is a huge experiment that we started last year and that we're continuing with optimism, because it can be challenging to get all of these ducks in a row, especially when they're all these independent communities that, you know, they have their specific needs and their specific day of the week that they hold a conference. So that is an experiment we're trying to just make sure that we're all communicating with each other to do something that will make sense for the artists and serve all of our different needs. And so far, I think it's going pretty well over the last year or two, and we're working out the kinks. I actually have a meeting scheduled with those volunteers who are coordinating the different artist tours to see how they want to proceed and like see what expectations they want to set for themselves and everyone that they have to work with, because everybody ends up with like an independent contract between one community and one artist at the end of the day. And so, but we have to all communicate together enough to make sure that those dates are going to work, you know, and that the artists can also like, you know, has a fair fee for each concert and for the whole tour. So, yeah, it was sort of inspired by our colleagues up in Canada, actually. In Canada, they have these people who are paid to be booking coordinators or tour coordinators. So they serve as like the person sort of in the middle of everything that takes care of that. And we don't really have that system in the United States. So this is this amazing like pile of spreadsheets is just our way of trying to see if we can borrow from that idea from Canada. I have a colleague from Arts Northwest, another booking conference, who tried to create a system with AI, and it got to be the first run was really complicated, and I think it broke the AI. But he hasn't given up. So we'll see if we can have technology help us in that area.
Emily, it's a fun organization. I'm thinking about the Montana Galleries Association. It's sort of a similar kind of thing. In Montana, we're a long ways from one gallery to the next, from one small theater to a school auditorium. So I'm really happy we had a chance to talk about the Montana Performing Arts Consortium. Thank you.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.